it started, it was just, I was backed up clear from Idaho in a dead stop. And this is quite, I'm going to have to vent my whole thought process here. So we're in a dead stop for literally 30 minutes. I mean, just touch and go, touch and go, touch and go, touch and go. So we get past, you know, this starts clear out in Idaho. We get past Liberty Lake, and I'm talking 5 miles an hour, zero, 5 miles an hour, zero, all the way near Sullivan. Between Liberty Lake and Sullivan, there's an accident. There's one car in between the medians, in other words, in the grass between the roads, not on the road, not impeding traffic at all. And every single person's going so slow or stopping, and the police have signs and lights all over. And as you start to approach the area, they've got great big electronic signs, accident ahead, you know, like, and there's blue lights and there's big blue light bars on top of these trucks, and it's absolutely like a circus production. And there's one van there upright on its wheels, airbags have deployed. It had gone through the cable guardrail, but neither side of the interstate was impeded. The kicker was the traffic heading east from Spokane was backed up by the time I took the Division Street exit to come to Coins Plus, was backed up from right out by past Sullivan all the way to Division Street. Backed up, packed, because there was a van off the road, and this is being caused by whoever's designed all these police lights that are, you know, drawing all this attention to this stuff, is not doing research on keeping traffic flowing. Big cities, you know, an accident, if you want to call it an accident, a person off the road with deployed airbags might in L.A., it might reduce the average traffic speed by 1.8 miles an hour or something. It's irrelevant. And in more metropolitan areas, they understand the importance of traffic flow because time is money. And so many people are dependent on that to get where they're going or do what they're doing. So I was just appalled. I mean, I am just so disappointed in whatever they're doing. This area has some of the worst rubbernecking I've ever seen. And by rubbernecking, what I mean is everybody's got to look. So I think their attitude is, well, I've already gone this slow for the last half hour, might as well stop and take a peek and, you know, kind of take in the sights and, you know, check out, you know, whatever's going on in the area. It's kind of like a historic, you know, like they're on vacation or something, a point of interest. But it's just, to me, it's just foolish when you count the number of cars going 0 miles an hour or 5 miles an hour and the amount of money that's there. People have to be working. I used to drive with the bank, and, you know, there's a lot of people that drive for a living. And they, whether they're truck drivers, whether they're electricians, plumbers, you know, whether they're salesmen, whether whatever. Time is money. And so I just really wish that Spokane had a better strategy for emphasizing traffic control to keep the traffic flowing when these kinds of issues happen. Not to mention the fact that it is Friday afternoon traffic. Fridays are notoriously the worst traffic of the week, Friday afternoons. I'm sure you know that. And, you know, some of the worst Fridays are, of course, before Christmas Eve and things like that. But it's Friday afternoon traffic. And anyway, so there's my 4 or 5 minute excuse. But I'll tell you, I'm just blown away. I'm kind of, efficiency is important to me. So you are listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin, your host. True Wealth is, as always, brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We've been buying and selling coins for many, many moons, for a couple decades. We like to think we're fairly good at it. We build portfolios. We like to think that we're pretty good at them. Over the years, I've gotten more and more and more motivated by passing items on to customers that are better and better and better at lower and lower and lower prices. I mean, I really think that we are in a wonderful buying market, and there's a lot of – when the markets get – when you're buying a stock or something like that, the price is what it is. It may go down. It may go up. But when you're buying metals and coins and things like that, the prices will go down and up, but so will the premiums. And so will the pickiness of the market. And right now, there is absolutely just a terrific market to be buying this caliber and quality of stuff. Better material is at a great value. And plus, to me, it's something when you get into coins, and I mean, obviously we do the bullion, you know, and the gold and the silver and the value. And folks, I think I talked here recently, don't get caught up in, and I don't know if this is going over a lot of people's heads, but there's all kinds of this MS70. The coin grading system goes from 0 to 70. The coin grading system was created long, 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 long time ago, long before all the modern mint products were being generated by a computer. And the original design of the grading system was that 70 was perfect and 1 was basal state, meaning that it was all you could do to identify it. I mean, you could see nothing more than a worn-out planchet, and everything in between was relative. 35 was supposed to be in the middle, etc. And then as times have changed, they've gotten all these modern mint coins, proofs and all this stuff, and they grade them MS69 and MS70 and proof 69 and proof 70, and then people go out and just bury themselves in this stuff. They get ripped off. They get overcharged. And then we face this stuff, and you know, I saw a guy here recently with a whole bunch of gold buffaloes and things like that in these real high-grade 70 holders, and it just doesn't add value to the coin because the mint is operating at such a high level of perfection now that they just aren't making mistakes. And so it's a 70 is a real common grade coming out of there. So you don't pay extra for that. You just buy coins. You buy the coins. Now, that doesn't apply to the old coins. The old coins you want to buy graded and certified, but you're not going to find the old coins graded 70 because they're not perfect. And this, like I said, may be going over some of your heads. Basically what I'm trying to say is there are many, you know, there's many good opportunities out there. If you want to own precious metals, own precious metals. Don't pay premiums for what otherwise would be a common price precious metal. And maybe, you know, I'm overdoing it. I guess another way to put it is we don't do that stuff to you. I mean, we just keep it simple. We keep it moving. We sell it for what it's worth and not some – there's no retail premium here. We're not using any fancy retail books. We're going off the actual wholesale markets, and that's why when – you know, when there's buy and sell spreads on that stuff, and that's what we operate off of. And it's important to be diversified into hard assets. It's just important, important, important for yourself. We live in a wacky world. And I don't particularly want to sound, you know, too cynical, but I mean, these are very, very interesting times. I think you would probably agree that we live in a time that anything is, it's coming to a point where technically anything is possible. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that anything could happen at any time. And I think that we need to be real, you know, we need to realize that we become comfortable. We become like frogs in the frying pan. By the way, coins plus 444-0044, toll free 877 tap coin. We become like frogs in the frying pan. And that's where we just sit and we numb out and we basically allow these things to kind of come our way. And we just slowly adapt and process. And you look at the mistakes that were made by the Jews in Nazi Germany, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, similarities till they're, you know, till in this country today. And we need to realize, you know, those mistakes and those weaknesses. We may not be able to change them ourselves, but we can protect ourselves, our families, and things like that. And at the same time, we're trying to change things. We can protect ourselves. That's the important thing I think I'm trying to say, is that you protect your family, you do what's wise financially, and then basically then you go out and you prepare yourself and you defend and try to affect change or disaffect change that's coming around the bend, because it's coming, I guarantee you. Let me pop up some stuff here real quick. We've seen, I think in general, our political climate in this country is becoming overly amplified aggressive. I mean, it's just so vitriolic. And to show my partisan perceptions or partisan bias, I don't think many people, if they were honest, I think the problem with politics is people get so hung up on winning. They get so hung up on the me and the team and the divisiveness of it all that they begin to lie and then begin to seek victory at all costs. So they're not honest about what's going on. And I think there's absolutely no question whatsoever that the rhetoric that is coming from the left is so far more hostile than ever has come from the right. It's always been this way in the years that I've been exposed to it. It's always baffled me. It's a double standard. It's hypocritical. I think a lot of it is because of the media covers the left as if they're saints and the right as if they're the devil, which is ironic because it's just the opposite, isn't it? The right is, you know, on the side of God, and the left is on the side of man or human secularism. And so we do fight a battle, a spiritual battle. There's no question at all that it is a spiritual battle that we're up against. Our economic system has now become global. It's incredibly complex. Economies all over the world are relying on it. They participate in it. We all rely on it. We all depend on it. Most people don't understand it. And, you know, it's essentially becoming we've got shadow banking. And shadow banks are financial institutions that act like banks but are not regulated by the government banks the way banks are. You know, it's non-financial lending. There's all kinds of things. There's basically, it's puppets. You know, there's puppets that are being controlled. We've got huge derivatives. Derivatives are massive leverage vehicles that are hanging over the head of or over the top of our entire economic system. You know, the IMF has said there's a huge problem. The Federal Reserve admits there's a problem. Warren Buffett, who owns Berkshire Hathaway, who's a massive financial guru, says, quote, you know, our system is being held hostage. He says our economic system is being held hostage by a financial weapons of mass destruction that could at any time fully and completely devastate the entire economy of the United States. He was speaking about derivatives. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but I am going to just let you know that no matter how good things look and no matter how great you think they are, they're waiting. And what are derivatives? Derivatives are a way to leverage massive amounts of stock with a small investment. It's betting like on huge shorts in masses. And you're like, how do you do that? Well, you bet. You basically post your bet. Now, if you're wrong, you lose all your money, but you put stops on it, and I won't get into all that. The bottom line is there are huge bets. Once the market begins to topple and turn, there are huge bets that come into play that will literally take over this next time down. And they will pound the market so low, and they've become such specialists at it that we're getting to a point where, you know, maybe we can't take it. We've got a new generation that is not financially complex. We've got new generations in this country that don't have the basic solid historical integrity and morality that drives, you know, America. They're very emotion-based. There's not as much logic. And so they can be, I guess you could call it, persuaded, encouraged to act quickly, rapidly, and radically in, you know, just based on hype and emotion. And that's exactly what tears markets apart. So we need to just realize that. I just keep that in the back of your mind and realize it is a very real threat. You know, we've got potentially, if, you know, we've got so much, a U.S. economic collapse would create global panic. I mean, you have to understand, I don't know quite how to go over this. I think that you need to understand if a U.S. economic collapse occurred, it would be immediate. It's not going to be slow. It's, you know, frauds end suddenly. They don't end slowly. And someone's probably listening going, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is two things. One, fiat currency system, broken. It's a sinful, bad system. It's where individuals come and capture an entire economic system based on the creation of false money backed by debt. That's who we are. Everything about it. You know where God says in the Bible, it says God hates dishonest weights and measures. Welcome to the Fed. That's what it is. It's a big system of dishonest weights and measures. Or debt consumes the soul, or is it debt consumes the very soul of a man? That is what I'm talking about. Our system is created and revolves around debt. So it won't last forever. The second point of what I was going to say is simple. It's just nothing lasts forever. No economic system has, especially any paper, well, or what we would call fiat economic system. And I call it that because when you go clear back to Rome and, you know, those types of times before their collapse, they had paper too, but there's no evidence. There's very little evidence of it left. But they did have base metal coins that had been debased over time. They'd gone from great, big, beautiful gold and silver coins. And then over a couple hundred and some years, 230, 250 years, those coins dwindled down until they were made out of a cheap pot metal. And that is when Rome collapsed. And if you look at our coinage now, guess what we've done? The same darn thing. Our early coinage is neat stuff. I mean, it's big, it's gold, it's silver, it's cool stuff. This country was the new machine on planet Earth when we got our economic system rolling. There's always greed. There's people pulling from every angle, you know, when it comes to Congress and funding and all these kinds of things. And eventually they just start to deplete the system. They try to make everybody happy. Our quote-unquote democratic system, which was supposed to be a system that gave the citizens the power to vote based on the performance of their representatives, well, no, now what it has become is a system where votes are purchased, okay? That, and so politicians begin to act a certain way for the specific fact that they want to get votes later. So you look at like this win that took place in Georgia this week. This is where it's getting interesting. $50 million was spent, the highest expenditure for any congressional seat race in the history of the United States. And it's a special election. So it's not even a normal election campaign. And that just tells you so much about where we're at and the kind of money. Do you know, when you hear that stuff, we get so numb to that. Do you know how many people you could help with $50 million? instead of just blowing it on these election campaigns? I mean, seriously, let's think about it, folks. Now, granted, that money probably, you know, filters itself somewhere. It goes somewhere. But, I mean, seriously, can you even imagine how many people could be helped with $50 million? So this is what we're doing. This is what's going on. And, you know, it's – I personally – I don't know what the duration of it is. I really don't. This is the greatest country in the history of the world. Maybe we'll endure longer than anyone would ever guess. But I think you're a lot smarter to be prepared, better safe than sorry, better to do what's biblically sound than to just – what do you know? You got to take God's advice or man's advice, just like you do in every area of your life. It doesn't work overly well when you take God's advice in a bunch of areas, and when it becomes a little bit of a test or inconvenient, you take man's advice. And it's usually over a desire for something, and that desire is often not good when we're not listening to God's advice or guidance. In this case, greed. So many people I talk to that invest in paper markets, they want to make money. They want to make too much money. And so that always tends to lead them to making really bad decisions. So economic collapses come fast. They happen quickly. No one's ever able to predict it. The people that suspect it won't ever tell you. There'll be always an inside group that's profiting off of it. And that's, you know, part of the reason that no one will ever tell you is because the signs of an imminent collapse are hard to see. And the people on Wall Street each only have a glimpse of the small piece of the pie they work with. Negative information doesn't necessarily transfer. There's not like a group of guys out there that get together and share. You know, for example, the U.S. economy, they say it almost collapsed September 17th of 2008. You know, I'm not sure where I sit on that. I mean, I think we've got an economic system that needed a reset, and I think it still does. I do not think that whatever they wanted to call it, the economic collapse or economic crisis, it was anything more than the pulling back of the veil and showing us what was there. Now, why, you know, I'm not minimizing and I'm not saying it's not a threat. What I'm saying is they made it a culmination, and there's different reasons that it was, but at the same time, all those issues still exist. They're not gone. So September 17th of 2008 was the day the panicked investors withdrew a record $140 billion from money market accounts, which is where businesses kept cash, or where businesses typically keep cash to fund their day-to-day operations. And if withdrawals had gone on for a week, the entire economy would have absolutely completely halted. And I don't disagree with that a bit. And the thing you got to understand, when an economy stops working, folks, or if there's an economic collapse, America is so vulnerable. Okay, our power grids are a joke. We're 100-and-some-year-old technology, really bad, never been upgraded. Why? Because we always have to move forward. When the money started to flow in this country around the dot-com craze, that's when we should have stopped and started to rebuild our infrastructure, but we don't. We want more, and we want more, and we get investors, and we want 10% growth a year, and they want more, and everybody wants more. And then we're not reinvesting an appropriate amount of money back into our system, and we end up with a lot of problems. We've got our telephone system is archaic and broken. Our electrical system is archaic and broken. Even our plumbing systems aren't good, you know, on an individual basis. They're just old. They're archaic. There's not a lot of modern technology going into them. They're not overly efficient. So what's our answer to everything is to put more and more water-saving devices in the home and energy-saving devices. But that's at the end of the line, not on the line. And, you know, if you think about a lot of these energy-saving devices, like, all these faucet caps now, not the screens like they used to have, but they've got like the six piece parts of pieces of plastic that go together to make these little faucet adapters that, you know, inject huge amounts of air into the water to make it look like you're getting more water than you are. And if you try to take one piece apart, the whole thing falls apart. You got goofy gas caps on gas cans that you can't even operate. They're so impractical and unreasonable. And I mean, this is just where we're going. This is who we are. And it's always over one minor environmental issue of this or that nature. You know, so it's, we're just not prepared. So basically what they're saying is, you know, back in 08, we got a little taste, a little glimpse. Now it's been almost 10 years and things seem to be kind of okay. But you got to understand, if this happens, if we ever got an economic collapse, you got to understand that, that trucks would stop rolling. Grocery stores will run out of food. I've seen it. I've been in places. I've been around when grocery stores run out of food during an emergency situation in the same day, and there's none. You run out of heat. You have to understand more and more the impact of what a run on our money system would look like and what it would entail and how bad things can actually get quickly. And it would absolutely, you know, it could very well leave us hanging in a way that we never, ever dreamt. So, you know, supposedly they kind of froze the system in 08. They protected it. But the problem is Hank Paulson and Ben Bernanke, you know, supposedly saw what was coming and they created this massive bailout fund and TARP funding where they give banks money not to repossess homes and everything else. And they supposedly, you know, fixed it temporarily. And they've gotten smarter since like the crash of 29, of course. So you have to understand now, if we have an economic collapse, which I'm just kind of touching on a few things, which is, I don't think, does anybody out there think that's really unreasonable? When you've got an entire economic system built on fiat currency, I've had people say, well, the American people won't allow it. Well, the American people don't have a say. Things I've thought of, well, the American people, we are innovative, okay? We are driven. We don't give up easily. That's true. That would give us the ability and strength to sustain and continue to persevere through it. However, that doesn't mean we have the ability to stop it. And some people are like, well, we'll just keep working and generating income. Yeah, we will, but we're slave labor. We're at a point now where we are expending amounts of money, folks, that are so far beyond anything that could ever be corrected or fixed. There is no turning back. Absolutely no turning back from the U.S. debt clock, which I have actually discussed with you before on this show. That actually shows the debt clock running continuously with our national debt. We are just around the corner now from 20 trillion. We're at 19 trillion, 954 billion, 143 million, and almost 144 million. So we're just around the corner from 20 trillion. We've got just in deficit now. We've got 60-some thousand dollars in debt per citizen, 300-some thousand per taxpayer. And then on our budget items, we've got, you know, Medicare, Medicaid. That's one of the big arguments over Obamacare and the sustenance of it. You know, Medicare, Medicaid is over a trillion a year, $1.2 trillion a year being spent this year alone. Social Security is a trillion. Defense spending is $600 billion year to date, that is. Our income security, $300 billion. Our net interest on our debt, just year to date, $262 billion. Federal pensions, $268 billion. Our GDP is just below our debt. It's at $19 trillion. But, you know, and I bounce around on this stuff, and I'm sorry to bore you, but the total debt per family, it says here, $813,000. Total debt per citizen. That's just on these basic items, folks. $210,000. So this is where we're at. Okay. Now, can you really listen to those numbers and say, well, you know that Kevin, he's just a crazy young man, and there's no way this could ever end. We're such a happy, great country, and we're all good, red, white, and blue, red-blooded, just going to, continue on as they have for the, forever, where, in Peter it says that. I mean, Peter says that, people will say at the end times that, where is the promise of his coming? Where's the promise of the coming of this king or the coming of your savior or whatever he refers to it as? He says, where is the promise of his coming? And then they say, well, after all, it says, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as they have from the beginning of creation. It's interesting to me in there that they say that they use the phrase creation, though, isn't it? That's very interesting. Because at the end times, you wouldn't be sure. But it says, know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. Now, what are their lusts? Apparently to mock and just stimulate their own nerve endings, I guess. It says they'll come following their own lusts, and they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it has from the beginning of creation. It says when they maintain this, when they think everything's the same and it's never going to change, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And then he goes into, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. It's very interesting. He's basically saying they don't pay attention to the fact that all the evidence of water, well, the world was created out of water, by water. And then, of course, he goes in later to the flood. And he's saying all the water evidence all around of us, shows us that there was some cataclysmic event and things have changed rapidly. And yet they want to believe that things are going to continue as they always have. And this is a real weakness in the thought process of the American folks. I mean, when 9/11 hit, what'd we think? Not us, not here, not now. This isn't us. We're like, no, not us. We're immune. We're the greatest. We're the toughest. We're the, we're awesome. Now, 9/11, my thoughts on it, I think that is a spectacle. I think there's so many unanswered questions. It's interesting to me the way a lot of that went down. I won't get into that, but it definitely set us on a new course for this world. So I'm proposing to you that at some date in the future, there will be an economic collapse. It's going to be a big, powerful, nasty shutdown. It's going to come on strong and hard. You may notice it maybe a day before. Maybe you might, if you're really up to snuff on things, you may notice something changing. I mean, and that's all I have. That's it. I really don't think you're going to see much more coming until you get wiped off the earth. Now, or not financially, I mean, you'll still be here to experience your poverty and to the experience not being able to get things. So understand, like I just said, we've got, each of us, millions and millions of dollars in debt hanging over our own heads. Millions. We can't pay it back, okay? It's too much. And we keep spending like wildfire. It's all we spend on debt. We spend, China owes us by debt. We are a much, much, much smaller piece of China's GDP now than we've ever been. And so things crazy could happen with China at any time. We've got North Korea, who's nuts, who, You know, by the way, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I did some research yesterday. How sad. That warm beer, for those of you who are familiar, there was the hostage that was a high school student or a college student that went over on a field trip, essentially, with his school and got caught taking down a poster of the ruler of the nation in an employees-only area. And he was given 15 years hard labor. He was returned to us about a couple years later, completely vegetative, brain damaged, with an extraordinarily large amount of brain atrophy, which meant he'd been suffocated repeatedly. They tried to blame it on botulism, but there's no way. And then I did research, they have horrendous, terrible, ridiculous torture techniques that you can't even imagine. I mean, they do horrible things, folks. North Korea does horrible, horrible stuff. They put I won't even get into it. Okay, I don't want to do that to you. Trust me. But they have horrible torture techniques that are as bad as what happened to Warm Beer. They're a sick, sick bunch of people. Their rulers tell the people that they're gods. They tell their people that they have to do everything for these rulers. They're starving to death. They're broke. They're not allowed to think by themselves. They will kill anybody who even, you know, they think is considering defecting. After three generations of telling the people that they're gods, they begin to believe it. And they just don't take good care of their people. Their people have no income. Their military is not paid to fight. Their weapons are old and weak. A lot of their parades are full of fake weapons. And it's just a situation that is run as smugly and negatively as possible. It's worse than the mob. It's worse than the drug cartel because they don't have money. And they starve their people to death. They give them the equivalent of $5 a month. And rice costs $3 a month. The North Korean people, they resort to eating grass clippings, rats, mice that they catch themselves, insects. It's sick. It's real bad. It's filthy. And you can't grow your own garden there to feed yourself. You'll be killed and executed. It's all for the government. Very sad. And this is the country that killed a U.S. student of ours and sent him back. And so that's a situation that could escalate at any time and probably should. I think we should retaliate in some way. So let's keep going. So there's all kinds of pressures on us is all I'm saying. Things could change so fast. What would happen if an economic collapse happens? Banks will close. Okay, I mean, that's immediate. That's the first thing that happens every time. The banks close down, which means demand will far outweigh supplies for food, gas, and other necessities. People run out of money. They run out of credit, which leaves people who have God-ordained, authorized, you know, biblical hard assets. They're the only ones that win. They're the only ones that win. If you're carrying around gold and silver coins and things like that to trade with, you're the one that wins. People will have credit cards. They're worthless. You want hard assets, even paper money, worthless at that point. So you've got to have your assets secured. Now, I will tell you, things that could happen, like the traffic jam I saw today, that could be an issue. So what we would recommend, not to mention, if we ever had an EMP, that would flat shut cars down altogether, you know. So we have our privately held depository service here, which is nice because we're not part of an economic banking system that would tell us to close down or anything like that. And if things like that got to that point, we'd definitely be here to release goods and help you access your stuff or whatever. So, you know, that's the private. Being in the private sector is a good aspect of that. So the demand would outstrip the supply of food, gas, and other necessities. Collapses affect local governments and utilities, which leads to water and electricity not being available. As people panic, self-defense becomes more important, and the economy reverts to a traditional economy, where those who have hard assets, gold and silver, and who actually grow their own food, barter for other people's services. It's just the way it goes. A U.S. economic collapse would create global panic. Demand for the dollar and U.S. treasuries would plummet. That's what we're facing in this nation right now. All these countries like China that are holding all of our debt, folks, they've got it all in bonds. I am telling you, it is teetering. You've got a huge group of men globally, men, let's say women too, since that's the new thing to do, men and women who are controlling this stuff together. Okay, so you do have this orchestrated symbiosis going on. But you know what happens? The minute that it hits somebody personally, their whole actions change. And people start to bail out when it starts to hurt them. And I can tell you straight up, it would be a global panic. As America goes, so goes the world. Demand for the dollar in treasuries would literally become bottomed out, worthless. If there was any way to redeem them, the Chinese and everybody else would get it done, but I don't know that there would be. Interest rates would skyrocket. Investors would rush into other forms of currency, other forms of hard assets, other forms of wealth storage. They'll run to the yuan and the euro, and they'd think that they'd be running to these things, but they can't get them because of, you know, the electronic limitations. I guarantee you, folks, gold and silver is king. Gold and silver is biblically created, endorsed, authorized, recommended, prescribed, whatever. That's where it goes. Now, do you think that's likely or unlikely? When we've each got $1 million in debt per person, because we've got more than the U.S. debt clock even shows. I mean, we've got so much debt and deficit. Is this going to go on forever? There's only two ways out, hyperinflation or bankruptcy. I mean, and hyperinflation leaves you broker than you've ever been. That means every penny you have becomes ultimately worthless, and bankruptcy leaves you broker than you've ever been, and it becomes worthless. Everything you own on paper becomes worthless. Either one of those scenarios thrives under precious metals because their value is given by God. It's in the ground. It's a commodity. There's work energy that goes into it. If you don't comprehend that because you've been Americanized so bad and you've never studied this stuff, then great. Just go with the flow and believe it, because there's no argument on the other side. There's no argument that a blank piece of paper that says Federal Reserve note after the Federal Reserve collapses is going to be of any use. If you don't believe it, you should sit here in our shop or come in and buy a whole bunch of old obsolete notes from us. We have obsolete notes going back from all kinds of countries all over the world all the time. They obsolete their currency. They reissue currency. They reestablish values. You know, whether it's Mexico or Italy or it doesn't matter, you know, where it's been everywhere in the world at one point in time. Why are we immune? Are we perfect? I don't think so. I think the system was built right, gold and silver at its core. If we'd have stayed there, the world would look different for sure. So just understand, it's a simple process. You could lose your water and electricity. So you should be prepared. You really should. The global panic, you know, the treasuries, everything, interest rates would skyrocket. It would just be crazy. It would create the hyperinflation, but so that the dollar became worthless. So what would it look like? When would the U.S. economy possibly be doing this? I've come up with six scenarios, basically, that would create a collapse. One is if the U.S. dollar rapidly loses value, it creates hyperinflation. That can happen instantaneously. China could do it tomorrow, okay? It could be done tomorrow by China. Of course, our allies, Great Britain and whatnot, could do it too, but they won't. But China could do it tomorrow. Or if we even got any kind of bad rating, if we didn't pay back, if anybody tried to redeem a bond, we didn't pay back, our rating could go through the floor. We've had to redeem bonds with money we don't have. Congress has these special meetings, and they agree to make fake debt to cover the fake debt. It's quite a process. A second thing is a bank run could force banks to close or even go out of business, which would cut off lending and then cut off cash withdrawals. That's what happened in 29, the crash of 29. The only thing then was the crash of 29 was not global. It was local. And they had only started the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, and they'd only begun to create the momentum in the roaring 20s. So it was a new program. Everybody was jumping into it, but it was very new. Now it has infiltrated every aspect of our system. Another thing that could create any, you know, lead to the economic collapse is the internet could literally become paralyzed with a super virus, which would prevent emails, online transactions, communications, things like that. Just think about it. One super virus on the internet, folks, it's done. One super virus, it's done. I mean, you got to think about these things. Is our system inevitably protected? No, not at all. There's guys who'd love to do this. You got to think about this stuff. Terrorist attacks, you know, how about a massive oil embargo? We could have huge terrorist attacks, terrible terrorist attacks. What if the terrorists got into the Capitol, and what if they got to the White House and took it over? What happens then? You know what happens then? The rest of the world just throws in the towel and says, I'm done with that country. Holy crap. I'm getting my money out of there. And then you have an economic collapse. Worse than 9/11 effect, trust me, especially now that everybody's afraid of it and waiting. Now, you can prevent and protect all your finances by just getting them into hard liquid assets. We have one of the highest rated depository services in the Northwest United States and far beyond. Folks, for all practical purposes, no one's getting into it. It's huge. It's strong. We can store it for you. You can take what you want home. You need your survival craft at home. But the rest of it, we can secure privately and anonymously, and it will be here. Things go crazy. We're not a bank. We're coming back. I guarantee it. It's private. We're not frozen. What massive oil embargoes could halt interstate trucking. They could halt all transportation and cargo, even across seas. You know, these cargo ships, if you look at them now, they're the biggest things on Earth. They're so huge. I've been looking at them. They're like, you know, they're a quarter of a mile long, and they'll have like 1,000 of these huge 40-foot-long cargo bins on them. We ship so much stuff. I mean, so much stuff. And that could just freeze up tomorrow. Could just stop tomorrow just with an oil embargo. Just, you know, we start to get politically heated. We get in a mess and somebody says, that's it. You're not getting any more oil. These are not that unreasonable possibilities, folks. That would immediately make your grocery store run out of food. So you should be prepared. You should be prepared for food and heat. And, of course, if they did it on purpose, it would always be in the winter, which is scary. What about widespread violence? What about this? What about a civil war? You know, what about this erupting rioting? That we saw here a while ago that rises up? That could lead to an economic collapse, couldn't it? It could range from inner city riots, a civil war, a foreign military attack. This country's never been attacked on our own soil in all of its existence. Well, since the beginning. And it's possible, it's possible that a combination of these events could literally overwhelm our government's ability to prevent or respond to an economic collapse. I mean, think about these things. Some people believe the Federal Reserve, the president, or an international conspiracy are driving the U.S. toward economic ruin. Why would they do that? Because why are the billionaires always saying everybody needs to pay more taxes and we need to be more socialistic? Why is it? Because once they're in that position, what do they want? They don't want anybody else to get there. They want to lead and rule. So that's why many people are saying there's an international conspiracy, you know, the Illuminati and all this stuff. that drive the U.S., that are, they want to see an economic ruin of the U.S., socialists, right? If that's the case, the economy could collapse any day. That's because it's run on the confidence that debts will be repaid, food and gas will be available when you need it, and that you'll get paid for this week's work. If a large enough piece of that kind of stuff stops for even several days, it'll create a chain reaction that leads to a rapid collapse. You know? I mean, does it seem possible? Yeah, I think so. You have to have money tools that are biblical, that are solid, that are timeless, simple. That's what we deal in. That's the area God sent me to. Just because the rest of it works for a while doesn't make it okay. I mean, folks, the drug cartel makes profit for a while and eventually they go down. But that doesn't make it okay just because it works, because they make profit. You have to have liquid assets that are transportable and immediately received anywhere you go. And you got to have people you can connect with. You got to have arms. You got a place to go, et cetera. But without money, none of it works, folks. None of it. You might think you're going to suddenly do it overnight, become some kind of hermit that lives off the land. No, you're not. You're going to just continue being who you are. You better be prepared. But I'll tell you what, you know, hard assets, you can hide them. I mean, gold and silver based assets. And then, you know, if you think that's extreme, that's why we build balanced portfolios. Good times, bad times, in between times, we set you up well. But we're doing a lot of both. We're doing a lot of silver-based coins or things like that, gold-based coins that have potential upside as a collectible, but you're buying them based on silver content. We've got all that. You know, we think this stuff through. We've got you set up. Coins Plus is 444-0044, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through the website at coinsplus.com. I mean, folks, this stuff is real, and I do believe it, and I'll tell you why it might. Right now, it's not uncommon that the media is focusing so hard on, you know, not to mention the fact that we've got this division in this country, and they're so anti-what? Free market? Are you sick? And they, everything's, you know, if you're a socialist and immoral, you know, pro-transgender and everything else, oh, you're a hero to everybody now. If you have hard wisdom, you're a fool to the world. And doesn't the Bible tell us that? That God's wisdom is foolishness to the world and you know, man's wisdom is foolishness to God? This is what we've become. You know, where it says in the Bible they have a sense of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They have this righteous judgmentalism. They're so much the arbiters of truth and morality, but there's no God in their life. They're just judgmental, you know. This stuff is infiltrating us. But I'm telling you, economically, just because things are kind of looking okay, because the ticker's running, the paper looks okay, that doesn't mean we're okay. And I'm telling you, we've got the inventory for sure. We've got the knowledge and the experience. We build. All you got to do is just come in, bring what you got, and say, build me a portfolio. I want Kevin to build me a portfolio. And we'll do it. We'll do it, and we'll help you get set up to be preserved and protected. And worst case, you're set for hell, you know, on earth. Best case, things continue on, they get better, you're set, you're going to do well, your wealth is going to grow, you're going to be secure, you don't have to worry about it. There's really, it's a win-win, and that's, to me in business, that's what it's all about, is win-win. So, you know, it's not a win-lose, and no one should feel like they're losing. So thanks for tuning in again. Have a great weekend. Glad to see the sun coming out. So take care, God bless, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.